Episode 260, September 5th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
What's up, everybody? Coming to you on Labor Day. Of course, doesn't really matter. You're not listening now. You're listening on Wednesday or Thursday. Hopefully Wednesday. The sooner
picnicking right now.
Really? Do people do that? Do they picnic?
I mean, well, barbecue. They barbecue.
Okay.
Sorry, I said picnic. You know what?
No, that's fine. Because I remember this is gonna a bad boyfriend Rob moment, but I remember Tawanda when I first met her talking about wanting a picnic basket set thing, and I like every year I look at to get it, and I've never gotten her one.
You know, it's funny. What if she had one? Would you guys picnic? Would you be out in the field somewhere today?
Yeah, once we would do it once.
I remember I was dating a girl. She ended up being my girlfriend, and I wanted to impress her, and I had just bought my house that I still own, the one in Glen Burnie. I just bought it. It was empty. And I went there and I did it, you know, somebody was moving into it, but it was empty. And I went and I had a picnic there in that house. By the way, I still live with my parents. I still live with Gramps and I owned a house.
So, but the girl was there, right? It wasn't just you.
No, it was me. Yeah, me. And I said, okay, Hey, let's go on a picnic. And I went to this house and I put a blanket on the ground and I,
how did that work out for you?
I think we dated for like 11 months. It was almost a whole year. Yeah.
Congratulations. You know, I think eating outside is, I don't like to eat outside anymore.
Whenever
there's an option to eat outside, even if the weather is nice, I'll drink outside.
Oh, no, you mean sitting outside out in front? No, I don't agree with that. I do like to, like when we're down in Annapolis, I'd rather eat outside than inside.
No, there's bugs. There's a car exhaust.
I like to people watch. I like the sun on my face. Yeah. No, I'm definitely an outdoor guy.
No. I like all that, but I don't want to eat.
So if you were going somewhere and they offered outside seating and it was a beautiful day like today, right? And you'd say, no, I want to sit in this bar.
It wouldn't, obviously, depending on the locale, if it's so glorious outside that I just have to be out there. But as a general rule, I prefer to eat inside.
Maybe that's why you haven't bought this picnic equipment yet.
Well, the thing is, she's more anti-bug than I am. So I don't even know she
don't
wants to go on
spend a lot, but she thinks she wants to go on picnics. But you'll just buy a blanket, one of those red and white checkered blankets, buy a basket. Everything else, you know, gets put in there. Maybe a corkscrew, right? That's all you really need.
Oh, you want the thing you can stick in the ground and put a glass of wine in it. You know, there's those fancy little setups you can do.
I'd actually like to be in your position. Could you still have an ace in the hole, something you know she wants?
Yeah. You talking about the ring? Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the picnic basket.
What do you want?
As a gift, you have that. Like, it's hard to buy for girls. Guys are easy to buy for. They're very easy. You go to Best Buy, you just look around, you grab something. It's not hard.
Yeah.
But girls, especially because girls do want to be, they do want jewelry. Forget the joke you just made, but they do want jewelry. But I don't know if I'm buying tacky jewelry. I don't know that.
Well, I do well buying her clothes. I mean, I always go to the store buckle, and I've talked about this before, but there's always some hot chick in there that helps you and just does the whole thing for you, and then you get to stare at her the whole time. It's a pleasant experience, and it's not, that expensive. It's like Macy's prices, basically. But yeah, you're right. I do have that gift, but it seems like now is the weird time to buy this. That seems like a spring gift, not a fall gift.
Is there a holiday you can buy that?
I can just get it for, but I'm saying as the weather turns, the picnicking, I would imagine the picnic season starts in May, right?
Well, I mean, right now it's just starting to cool down just a little bit. Fall's coming. Now, you still got a couple months, I think, right?
Well, I'm
all September, half of October. You got 6 weeks.
Hey, shout out to Jeff Hancock. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about how you went to Eric Woodworth's place and his wife was doing the wine thing. And I was asking, is there a male equivalent? And he did find something. It doesn't appear to be in business anymore, but it was like I had suggested, the grill items.
Would people, I wouldn't go to that, would you?
No, I'm not a grill guy. I like eating.
Eric Woodworth is having a grill party. I mean, I'd probably go just because we're friends,
fat guy.
But
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, what am I, is there that many grill gadgets? I mean, what do you got?
The thing that flips it over.
Spatula.
The thing that the tongs and the brush that cleans off the grill. That's the only thing that you need. Right.
And how advanced can those be? What can that brush do that the brush that I get at Target doesn't do?
But we do have fantasy sports.
Yeah, I'm in four leagues this year. We had our fantasy draft this past Friday night. The one that show announcer Tim is in. It's one of my favorite nights of the year because
it is great.
It's great because Tim actually won our league last year, and Tim is not the guy you want to have win because he will remind you of it constantly. At one point, you were talking to him and you looked away, and you said, "You look me in the eye, motherfucker. I'm the one who won this league," right? But Tim knows nothing. Literally, the second pick in. His second round pick, he makes the pick. Then he asks me, what position does that guy play? I mean, these are the players you should have heard of.
Yes, he was 24 players in. He had no idea who this person was.
Of course, then we play poker afterwards, and that's always a good time.
Speaking of football, please, everybody, listen to the Ravens post game this Sunday. It's going to be our debut. We're going to be at Mother's. Mm-hmm. It's going to be all the same segments. We're going to do something a little bit different. With Tommy than the great Simbaza. We're going to go in a little bit different direction.
Oh, what are we doing? I haven't been.
Let's let it be revealed on the air. How's that?
So you didn't even ask my opinion on this?
No, I did not. But there's 7 days until that, so we still have time.
Okay, but it sounds like you've already made a decision.
Well, we know there is an idea that we've had, and I know Tommy can do it, and he's embraced it. So, but you say we've already made a decision. If we just decide to do something different, we just do something different.
Okay, but just for the record, you started brainstorming segment ideas for Tommy, and you did not include me.
I actually, Katie thought of it with Katie. I said, hey, that's a good idea, and then I just said something to Tommy.
Okay, so Katie is the head of the pecking order for brainstorming on the post.
Well, there's more to this story, which I'm now, of course, Robbie's going to go crazy, that I'm not going to reveal on the air, okay? So there is part of it that I did not say to Tommy. But, well, what the hell, I'll say it. So I talked to Rick. He didn't want the great Simbazo. He didn't want but now I have to say it because, of course, Robbie's going to, and then you accuse me of being, excluding you. So now I have full disclosure. And now, Tommy, I apologize. Now you know. But yeah,
oh my
he didn't
God,
like
I love the great Simbazo. That was my favorite feature.
He didn't like the segment and he nixed it. And so we have to go in another direction.
Oh, come on.
Okay. And let's get to the important thing. What did he say about my segment?
I loved it. He did.
Okay. And that's the show, folks. That's all we need to know. We'll be back this Sunday. It's the 1 p.m. game, Ravens Bills at Mother's right there in downtown Baltimore. And then the post game will. usually starts a half hour after. So 4:30-ish, right? 4:30 to 6:30, that's our guess. Same time this year, same length of show, Joe?
Yeah, it's going to be – no, I think the show is – I think it's 2 hours then plus whatever time is left over from when the network feed ends to the top of the hour, something to that effect, or the bottom of the hour.
4:30 to 5.
Can I make a plea to fans out there to write Rick Strauss at 98 Rock and tell him how much you love the great Tsimbazo?
Yeah. Robbie, that's just what I want to do, poke the bear. He doesn't like it. You know, God, your instincts are so poor. Okay, they're so poor in this regard. It is 1 4-minute segment, and I'm doing an NFL post game, and you want to fuck with this guy. That's just the difference between you and I. This is not some sort of creative integrity. It's like, this is my brand, and I will not. No, I mean, we're trying to find our way. And now you are encouraging the people, the thousands of listeners we have, to call and start bothering this guy about the segment. Am I understanding this correctly?
I love the great Tsimbazo.
You know, we can have the great Tsimbazo on the Rob and Joe show.
He can come, yes. He can record a segment for this show every week.
Okay, let's do that.
What do you want it to be about? It can't be about football.
Why not? Whatever he wants it to be about.
It's just about telling the future for things that's going to happen. I understand.
So he can pick the topic for the week. It can be anything.
Okay. Well, there you go. Are you happy now, Robbie?
Absolutely. We can have that segment. Yes, that makes me
happy. You now call off the dogs? No writing. By the way,
the dogs would be Eric the actor, and he's dead, apparently.
By the way, really, they're going to write him? Is that what they're going to do? Put a pen to paper?
I think a letter
showed up at a radio station. They put it right in the shredder.
Of course, he's not. You know, he probably gets a million emails a day. People's telling him that what's wrong with the station.
I know that
there were a lot of great Tsimbazo fans out there.
Really? You know, there's a message board somewhere.
Yes, I saw a lot of people who referenced the great Tsimbazo. How much
walking
they
around town just wearing T-shirts, great Tsimbazo. Speaking of the great Tsimbazo, you plugged it last week, but it's up right now. You can listen to the Laugh Finder, Tommy Tsimbazo's podcast, nerd podcast about this game. What's it called? Pathfinder, where you play in this game with other nerds, Joe.
Tommy actually got business cards. And you know what the business cards say on them?
A Laugh Finder podcast?
No, they don't. It doesn't say Laugh Finder podcast. Guess again.
The great Tsimbazo.
No. It just says Laugh Finder. It just says Laugh Finder on it, and he hands it to people.
There's no website?
No. It says Laugh Finder. It has the logo that he made, and you turn it over the back, it's blank.
Wow. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not extra money to get an email on there at that level. That's included.
I think you can just say .com at the end, and then people will will know what they're looking at.
Yeah. So I didn't listen to it yet. Joe, did you want to critique yourself?
So here's the thing. I'm sure I did a fine job on there. I spoke to Tommy afterwards. I do think there's too many voices. So I think what they need to do is limit it to maybe like two smart remarks in between action, because it seems to really, really drag on slowly because there's so many people that are trying to get these quips in. You know, there's six people sitting at the table. And I found there's a new episode that's up, and I found myself just playing the game. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't trying to lend anything funny to it because it seemed like it was too much.
Right.
But what I've heard from a lot of people who are fans of the game is they love it. So they just like the content, yeah.
What did Rick Strauss have to say?
I don't know, but Robbie's going to have thousands of people writing him. Joe Robinson said, right.
Well, how about some positive for Tommy? We had the Magoobie show last night that Eric Woodworth put on to raise money for Ellicott City. And Tommy Tsimbazo had maybe the set of the night. He murdered that fucking room.
Yeah, no, he really did destroy it. But to your credit, you went up. I thought you did just as good as he did. And you had to follow him. So, and I actually think it was a really good idea because they broke it up with that video that I made, and the phone calls, which I did think really kind of lent itself to a better show, because you just didn't comic. You know, once you get to the 10th comic, it's not the same.
It was a great show. We raised $3,000, so that's awesome. Eric Woodward started the show with a R. Kelly bump and grind song parody. To
about donations.
Yeah, instead of how about a little bump and grind, he goes, how about a little donation? And of course, he took his clothes off. Then there was a running gag throughout where Justin was on stage like it was a telethon with a phone. And then we had, R.J. Jackson up in the sound booth playing our phone call, our phone ring sound effect. And then Todd Fleming, local comedian who does impressions, better than Restivo, would call in and as different, like Barack Obama, for example, Ray Lewis, Tracy Morgan. And then Justin would take this phone call and they'd have this little silly back and forth. Plus there was stand-up, plus Joe. We talked about it last week, but you went down to Old Ellicott City and shot this man on the street thing. And the video, I was running the projector and I didn't start it in the beginning, so I cut off your first minute. So it didn't. It would have been an A, but it was probably just a B, the reaction. But I'll take that was my fault.
No, that's okay. It was it doesn't matter, right? I mean, it was something different. It broke it up. And if you want to see it, you can go on Facebook and
it's on our Facebook, and I'll put it on our Twitter. It's really funny. It's only like 4 minutes long, but it's I thought it was excellent. And there's a little inside joke there for people that know our show and local comics. Little Chris Restivo mention. And there's nothing negative said about Chris, but you believe that this is going to upset him for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I do. The joke is basically, who do you like in the Joe Robinson, Chris Restivo feud? That's it. There's nothing negative said about anybody.
Well, you also say, have you been to Coco Lane for Comedy Night? It stars Chris Restivo.
Yeah. So it's really one was indifference and the other one was promoting him. But I have a feeling that he's going to be bothered by this.
Well, I bet you that he will think it's hilarious or funny. Enjoy it.
Really? All right, it's a bet.
All right, deal.
Well, he'll hear this, and then he'll know that he shouldn't be upset. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
If somebody were just to go, you realize if somebody walked up to him and said, oh, my God, you know Joe was talking about you in that video? He'd be like, he would get upset. It's whoever gets to him first.
True. I'll post it on Facebook, and I'll tag him, and then we'll get his opinion. I'm sure he has nothing else to do. He'll probably watch it immediately.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So do that. Put his name in the comments, and then we'll just wait to see what comes up. But let's do that before this show airs so we can get his honest opinion.
I will.
All right.
But the big news from my standpoint from last night was another Scott Bergson sighting. The brother of Mac Bergson, the much ballyhooed Mac Bergson. Scott, his brother, came to our show up in Philly. Let's relives. The murder mystery a couple weeks ago, and then was in town, came to the comedy show. We hung out. You left, but a bunch of us, Tawanda and I and Mickey Coachella and some other listeners, Merle Rogers was there. Awesome to see her. But we hung out with Scott. He bought me several beers, so now I believe he's bought me 3 or 4 going back to the murder mystery. And he told me some stories about Mac growing up. And I know Mac has been there for us, but I'm thinking that Scott might be my favorite of the Bergson brothers.
Are there any stories that you can share that he might have told you about Mac?
Well, I mean, nothing. Just that Mac has a tendency to break things. I think there was a story about them having to get the lawn mowed before Dad got home and yelled at them. And they had a riding lawnmower, and somehow Mac was using it and the tire got flat. And then when he used the jack to change it, but their dad, being a very prepared person, had a spare. Who would have that? A spare tire on your
riding lawnmower.
He, Mac then tried to use the jack to change it and broke the jack. So then the dad came home and he's like, what happened? He goes, well, the tire had a flat. Well, I have a spare. And then, so a comedy of errors. So Mac breaks things. That's what we found out. But I know Mac has given us a sizable amount of money, and he's listened to every episode. But you know what? It's a what have you done for me lately world. And Mac, your brother Scott has purchased 4 beers for me and hung out with me. So,
and he's also bought tickets on 2 occasions.
That's true.
So yes. He's already kind of catching up.
Yeah, he's putting a dent into that.
I mean, he hasn't caught up. Let's be serious.
No, but it's going to take a lot more beers. But I feel like he has it in him. So I'm hang out as much.
Yeah, I didn't hang out, so I'm still Team Mac.
Okay.
Well, I also, Mac likes me the least of all the, so I feel like I would need to win him. Like, when he ranks the people who he likes on the show, I mean, I'm behind Gramps. I'm behind Marcus. I fall so far down. So I can't then, I need to continue to try to endear myself to him.
If we had to rank, let's guess Mac's ranking of the three of us, Marcus, Chamberlain, Gramps, Scott Apple, and Tawanda and Katie. Where do you think, who are you ahead of, Joe?
I'm not ahead of Chamberlain, that's for sure. Right.
You're not ahead of me or Robbie.
No, Gramps, definitely not ahead of Gramps. Did you say Gramps? I'm not ahead of him.
Are you ahead of Scott Apple?
Maybe. I'm not positive. I'm sure I'm not ahead of Katie and Tawanda, but I may be ahead of Scott Apple.
Yeah, I don't know. You may be dead last. Yeah.
I mean, there had to be worse people than me that have been on the show.
Well, there can't
be the worst.
But
there's no way he likes Restivo more than me.
No, but that was too easy. I couldn't throw that one in.
Right.
Yeah. He might like Mike Fanazza more than you. Mike Fanazza was at the show last night. He also had a great set. It was great sets all around.
I give Fanazza some credit because he had the worst spot by a million miles.
Yeah.
Because he had to go up after Eric did a song and dance number and then that phone call sketch.
Yeah.
So he's the first guy just doing straight stand-up. It was the beginning, basically the beginning of the show was him.
Yeah. He did really well.
Yeah, he did.
I also, though, you know, the crowd, they're obviously it's a positive crowd. They're there. They feel good. They're doing some goodwill. And they were really awesome laughers. But it did make me think, why can't every crowd be this way? You know, when you go out somewhere, don't you want to have a good time? You've paid money. Don't you want it to be good? Why can't every crowd just be positive?
I was talking to, I think it was it Sean Gabbert? He had his go. We went to his going away party. By the way, shout out to Sean Gabbert. He's going out to L.A. It affects Die Laughing Productions, but I'm still rooting that he makes it.
I'm rooting that he comes back quickly and fails over.
Right, right. But he had talked about getting a spot on a show, and the show started at like midnight. And every experience I've ever had with shows that are ending at 2 a.m, they've always been bad. It's always been bad.
Right.
Do you find it the same?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's some exceptions.
Now, I know why that was at the old Baltimore Comedy Factory, because what they wanted to do is they just wanted to get people in there. So those people didn't care about whether or not they were seeing anybody funny or not. They were there to drink.
Right.
Because they had these special drink deals for the late shows in order to get people into the club. And so that was different because laughing wasn't important. But it is strange to me when people come to a comedy show and they aren't there prepared to laugh. It never makes any sense to me. You know, it's like, you know, we've talked about this where if you're in a bad mood, then other people suffer for that. Does that make any sense? So
yeah.
Here's a time when you're whatever disposition you're in is not conducive to whatever's going on there. It makes no sense. Would you go to a restaurant if you were full? It doesn't make any sense. But
of course not. Yeah.
It happens regularly. And even if you're there with a partner, just because the partner wants to go, if half the people are laughing, it still works. Unless the audience is, you know, 10 people. But still, yes, if half the people are laughing, you're fine.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Our Super Bowl predictions, I know you're dying to hear them. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery. There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, September 16th at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
All right. Well, we do this every year. I think, Joe, you came the closest once. You got the I think you had Seattle and New England, but you had Seattle winning. But you got
no, I had Seattle and Denver. And I had Denver winning in Seattle.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. And then Robbie's gotten, I think every year one of us has gotten at least one of them correct. But we've also got the girlfriends involved. So I'll lead off. I'm a little upset because I was proud of my pick and that I feel like it's an underrated team, a team that's not getting love, that no one's talking about that they should, because their bio would suggest that they should be getting more Super Bowl love. And then you asked Katie who she thought, and she picked the same damn team. So it doesn't seem as under the radar. But I have the Green Bay Packers playing the Kansas City Chiefs in a rematch of Super Bowl I with the same outcome. Bart Starr and Vince Lombardi lead the Packers over the Chiefs, the David Koechner Chiefs. Yes, I have to root for him now. So I have Packers over the Chiefs.
So I'm bought in. I don't have any problem with that. Nice. But I really like the team that only lost one game last year and then didn't win the Super Bowl. I'm always a fan of somebody, you know, reaching, okay, we made it, and then now they fall off. And I have to imagine that they're going to be obviously they were good enough to only lose one time, but then they got killed in the Super Bowl, and they didn't get killed in the Super Bowl?
No, it was a one possession game. It was like 5 minutes left or something. So,
hey, real quick, let me. Katie just texted. I just said, "Hey, can you come in here, please?" I didn't realize she was out at CVS, but she did. She did text over her Super Bowl pick: Chiefs over the Packers. That's her Super Bowl pick.
So she has the same. Okay.
She has the same Super Bowl.
Wow.
But she has. The different team winning. So.
Okay.
But I like Carolina. And I like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I like Carolina winning.
Okay. One more shout-out to Scott Berkson. He gave me a copy of Blazing Saddles.
Oh, you were going to say blame the victim. I was saying you already have that.
No. So
what
now
about Tawanda? Did she give you her pick?
Yes, Tawanda has the Washington Redskins over the New England Patriots. Yes.
Well, both teams won their division last year, so it seems pretty reasonable.
They're very similar franchises.
Now, Marcus told us, I don't know if Marcus has a prediction. I know Robbie always does. But Marcus told us that that Vermont is getting a team, an arena team.
Yes.
And that he may be the on-field announcer for this team. Hey, Marcus, does this team have a nickname?
They're the Vermont Bucks.
Oh, I would have thought they were the socialists, but Bucks were.
The Uncle Fox, the Vermont Uncle Fox. So, Marcus, you're going to be the announcer?
Yeah, the coach and owner asked me if I would be the on-field announcer, so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun to have some pro football here in my backyard.
Do they have cheerleaders?
I believe there's a plan for that. They're right now, they just signed their first player who happened to be a kid out of Rutland, Vermont, but they've got some ex-NFL guys coming. They've got some guys from around the country coming. So they're really trying to put together a strong team, not just to win the season, but to really kind of kick off football here in Vermont and get this new league started.
I think you should.
Are they worried about the popularity of football up there because everybody's a bunch of pussies? Is that a concern?
Come on up and I'll show you.
Are you going to start a Vermont Bucks podcast for the Mike O'Mara Network?
They're actually starting one already, and they already had picked a guy who works for Northeast Sports Network. So he's going to do their live stream and podcast.
Well, if they need a segment called The Great Sambazo, we know someone who's available. Marcus, do you have a Super Bowl prediction for us? Not excluding the Vermont Bucks.
I do. I've got the Panthers over the Patriots.
Okay.
My wife also put in a pick, too.
Yes, let's see.
Elise said that she wants, she expects to see the Patriots over the Seahawks.
Ah, a rematch of a couple years ago.
Yep.
Okay, these are all, I could see all these happening, really, except for Tawanda's. Robbie?
I have the Cardinals over the Texans.
Ooh, interesting. I think that's strong.
And my girlfriend,
Cardinals are going to be real good.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend picked the same two teams she did 2 years ago.
Who were they?
She said Bears over the Colts.
Yep. All righty. Done a lot of new research.
They did play each other in a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning's first Super Bowl win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you have it. Well, Joe, you had an interesting encounter with a dear friend of yours, Todd Leatherberry.
Oh, yeah. Todd Leatherberry, who I mentioned. I tell stories about him all the time. Actually, I've given Todd credit. He's the person in my life that's taught me that it was okay to be vulnerable. Like when we were in college, he used to tell stories about himself, which I would have just been so embarrassed. But of course, embarrassing things happen to you all the time.
Right.
And it really wasn't until then where I was secure enough to tell a story where I was the buffoon in the story.
Right.
And so I give him a lot of credit. He's had a lot of influence over my comedy and over my life. I've known this guy forever. And I was here talking to, he was in my house and we were talking. And I don't want to reveal too much, but basically, you know how you do Mount Rushmores? We do Mount Rushmores of, you know, fast food chains and the Mount Rushmores of, you know, R&B art, whatever. But I did a Mount Rushmore in his life, but it was a negative Mount Rushmore, right? Okay. What I had asked him. And so he had had three that made it on this Mount Rushmore, but what we were trying to find a fourth. Was there a fourth?
What was the question?
I don't want to be more specific than that, right?
Okay.
But it was a negative thing. Okay. And Katie said, what about, and she alluded to a person that we know is in his life. And it harkened back a story that he started telling us. And as he was telling the story, I saw his eyes. It almost looked like they were getting smaller, right? Then he started turning red and I go, huh, dude, he loses it. He starts bawling. I mean, this story evoked some emotion within him. And it was so powerful that it was like a therapy session. He ended up breaking down. I had to, you know,
So you went from just having a conversation to
it's my
a minute
fault
later,
because,
he's bawling.
Yeah, it's my fault. You know, it's funny because sometimes I listen to Howard Stern, who I think is a great interviewer. And he'll start asking these questions. And you know, Robbie, like, for example, you just heard him talk about Steve Martin. He started talking about his dad because he knew that there was some sort of estranged relationship. Well, I'm not interviewing this guy. He's just my friend. We're just talking. And had I known it was going to upset him to this degree, clearly I would not have brought it up. But I literally saw this evolve. But by the time I realized that I had upset him this much, it was too late. The story was already 2/3 of the way out.
Why can't you say what the question is?
I don't want to. So we just went through this with the Tommy Cimbazzo thing. So, you know, can you just let that go? Can we just let it go?
No, because I literally thought we had a conversation yesterday.
No, I said I would
do
it in the manner that I'm
saying. Same conversation.
I think we're doing it right now. I'm just saying it was a negative instead of a positive. That's all that we need to say.
Okay, but I have on my notes that the next thing we're going to talk about is posing that question to ourselves. But I guess we can't do that now.
Okay, no, well, sure. Okay, then I guess we can. All right. God, I mean, this show, geez.
No, Joe, I thought you said, you won't mention this person's name in the story that you're about to tell.
Yeah, no, okay, so now, here we go. All right.
You don't have to. We can just talk about something else.
Yeah, let's move on.
That's fine.
By the way, it's painful for me to do that on the air and out these people.
That's why I asked you, can we tell that? And you said yes.
Do you have four? Okay, so are there...
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay, then in that case, if you don't have four, then let's, yeah. I mean, hey, if somebody wants to
message...
But
I know Robbie does, and I wanted to hear Robbie's.
You have them, Robbie?
I don't know the question.
Oh, good, we're not going to do it. This is just going to be this vague segment where people are guessing and left unfulfilled. That's what we're going to do.
But Joe, the part that you're... The bad part of the story for this person is the part you've already told.
What? What's bad? That he emoted? That's not bad.
Yes. The thing that you don't want to tell is nothing.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I don't agree because there are people who might be on that Mount Rushmore and they're going to want to know. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't say we'd say who they are.
Right. I understand that. But obviously, the fact that this conversation took place... The question was, who are the people that had the largest negative effect on your life? That's what it was.
The Mount Rushmore of people that have done you
negative, had a negative impact on on your life. That's exactly what it was. Well, who's the Mount Rushmore?
I want to hear. Well, okay. Can are you going to tell this the story without naming the person of what happened, or do you not want to tell that?
No. Come on, this can't. I can't go.
Joe, I'm only saying this because we literally had a conversation yesterday.
And well, I thought we were going to do it in a manner that I just did it. That's what I thought we were going to do. But then you said you wanted more, so I just asked the question. So then if we had our own Mount Rushmore, we could do it. Now you're asking me to go in a different direction. That's all.
No, I thought I asked you specifically yesterday, are you going to tell this story, the one that I thought you're about to tell? And you'd said yes to me, which surprised me. And you said you just wouldn't name that person's name.
Oh, the person. Yeah, but here's the thing. If they hear the story, they're going to know. I meant I was going to tell the story about affecting him in that manner, not the story that he told. Clearly the people in the story are going to know it's them. Nobody's going to hear a story about them and not know it's them.
Okay, but if I, Joe, if I told a story about somebody keyed my car, some girl that I dated, and she hears it, well, she knows she did it, so I don't understand what's the problem.
Well, I'm sure, but because it's not my place to, he did not say, I'd like for these people to know they did this to me, and I'd like for you to do this publicly. He didn't say that.
Okay. This is all an elaborate setup for us to have a paid episode where you pay 99 cents and we tell the real story.
All right, yes. If we have a paid episode, if you pay, I'll tell the story. That's true. Okay. I will.
That wasn't what we were doing, though. All right, so the Mount Rushmore of the people that have screwed, done, negatively affected your life. That's the question we're going to pose. See, because when you said that, we were going around the room. Can we tell the Eric Woodward story?
Can we tell that story? Okay. Yes.
So Eric gave some, he just gave like a, I forget who he said for real, but he said, Eric is a large fat guy if you don't know, but he said in eighth grade, and he named this girl, Tierra, I think was her name.
Yeah, it was her name.
Eric was a chubby guy like he's been his whole life. And he had a shirt with like a hole, like underneath the armpit on the side. It had a hole in it. And he also was having a particularly bad stomach day, a little rough down there. And eighth grade, Tierra pokes him in that hole, which caused him to let out an enormous fart in the middle.
Yeah, it was a machine gun. He said,
yes.
Yes. He described it perfectly.
And that affected his life negatively for years. See, I thought about this question. Maybe I've lived a charmed life. I didn't realize it, but there's only one person that I really felt done wrong by, this girl that I dated that it ended horribly, where I realized that she was sort of dating two people at the same time, me and this other guy. I should have realized that I was just naive. And we had made plans on New Year's Eve, and then she canceled them to go to New York City with this guy to watch the ball drop. So I'm at this party on New Year's Eve watching the ball drop, knowing that she's there with that guy. It was a horrible experience. Oh. But I couldn't name four.
No, I have. When I was in middle school, I was terrorized by this kid. Now, I'm not going to say his name because a lot of people know him. But I've told the story a bazillion times.
Tim Moran.
It was Tim Moran. No, but then, but once I got into high school, that was over with. But that was probably that was a rough, while when I had classes with this guy, right? And of course, I think about it now, like, my kids, they've never had to experience bullying. They never have, because if you bully somebody, they'll kick you out of school. You can't bully anybody.
Bullying was worse now than ever because you got like online stuff.
Well, maybe so, but if you're in school and you go, "Oh, nice jeans," you'll have to go to the principal's office. And you might even have to go home. I'm not kidding. You might have to spend 3 days at home. It's monstrous, because of course, now in the world we live in, where Vermont gets their own football team, everybody is so very, very sensitive to, what psychological effects. And of course, also, sometimes they shoot the school up. So they care about these things a little bit more than they did before. But yeah, no, you can't bully anybody in school. That's a different, it's a different world.
I mean, I had people in school that messed with me, but I don't remember their names or anything. So I couldn't say that they've affected my life that much. I've forgotten about it, but I also don't remember watching Sesame Street. But you don't have, Robbie, I mean, you have like eight ex-wives, so that they've got to count, right?
Yeah. At least one of them would be in there.
Oh, yeah. I know which one, too. Yeah. That was a rough one.
What about the girl that kept falling down? You had to always pick her up. That had to negatively affect your life.
Inconsequential. I didn't even date her for even a year.
Yeah, well, I think about that, too, is I have to be on a shit ton of Mount Rushmore. You know, the other way around. I'm on a lot.
RJ Jackson.
A lot of people. That's right. A lot of people have me up there.
The producer at BAL.
Now, I'm confident RJ Jackson does not have me on his Mount Rushmore.
But it was such a dark question. And then, I don't know, what made you go down that road, Joe? You're usually a positive guy.
Well, we were discussing, you know, we were telling stories. And so I started saying, well, this person, this person, this person. Who's the fourth?
Yeah. Marcus, do you have anybody that stands out that's just really...
Unfortunately, the list is quite long.
Marcus, you had a pretty bad first marriage, if I remember you saying correct.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if we've got to speak about her directly, the fact that during the custody battle, as we were separating, she took off without telling anybody. So it was one of the reasons why I ended up having custody of my daughter, which was what I wanted. But right. At the same time, mom just disappears and I didn't hear from her for 6 months to a year.
Jeez. So a long time.
Yeah. But, you know, she's not the worst of the worst. I mean, there's even worse than that.
Wow. Well, name bad now. I'm making fun of Vermont's football team, Marcus. Yeah. Sounds like you had a rough go.
Who are these people? Let's out them right now.
You know, I hate to say it, but they're family members on that list. But, you know, if we're talking about, you know, people that we were in school with, yeah, there was a couple of guys. So freshman year of football, I was on the team, and I was not obviously one of them. And right. I had just gotten my jacket, my football jacket, had it in my football locker. And while I was showering, they decided to shower my locker with their urine.
Oh, they peed on it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is horrible.
I could name names on a couple of those guys, but it's not really worth it at this point. It's years past. But I do remember at that time. It was that thing, and it was one of those catalysts that pushed me out of it. And it wasn't the biggest thing. I'd rather have done radio, and I was doing radio in high school at that time, so it was better for me.
Did you put the jacket on? Is that when you realized?
No, when I walked up to the locker, you could tell. I didn't even have to open up the locker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, what did you do with the jacket? I guess that's it. You have no more football jacket.
Jacket went home. The jacket went home. The jacket got washed and never got worn.
Yeah,
that jacket's dead to you at that point. Yeah. I guess now that I think about it, I guess the certain owner of a certain Baltimore comedy club, not Andrew Unger, has had a negative effect on my life. Yeah,
you'd have him on your Mount Rushmore.
Well, I'm just trying to think of, you know, I guess if I have to name four.
Then you should consider yourself blessed.
Yeah.
If that's the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
That doesn't mean that's the worst thing that's ever happened to you, just because you can have bad things happen to you without there being a villain in the story.
So my dad is telling a story in chat. I remember this. He fought this, his bully. But see, here's the thing, and I'm not upset with Gramps, but my father started me in school when I was, my birthday was in December. Everybody in school was older than me, every single person. The other thing is I didn't mature until my junior year of high school. So think about that. I was literally a child up until I was a junior in high school. So that was rough. And one of the things, and again, you live and learn, it's not my father's fault, but... You know, because you're smart enough, you know, that doesn't mean the leaders are always the oldest people in the class. So we kept my son, Joey, we kept him, his birthday's in October. We started him a year late. Well, guess what? He's a straight A student. He got his college paid for. He's got his job all set up. You know what I mean? It helps for you to have that kind of confidence that comes with being physically the same size as everybody else in your class. Does that make sense? So I didn't have any problem making friends, but obviously, you know, if you're going to bully somebody, you're going to bully the smallest kid. That's what bullies do. They prey on the weak. Well, sure. I'm the weak because I'm smaller than everybody else because I'm younger than everybody else. So that's why I had to develop quick wit. You know, I had to.
Joe Robinson, was, I'm the weak.
That's right.
Not quite. I was the weak. Not quite Walter White's. I'm the one who knocks.
I'm the one who runs.
Let's take a break. And I'm starting to guess in my mind who has Joe Robinson on their Mount Rushmore. Let's name them when we come back. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back. What's up, everybody? We need your help. We need your support.
We haven't begged for support in a while.
And we're not too proud to beg. We're really good at begging. All we really want you to do is just, if you listen on iTunes, give us 5 stars, write us a review. Same deal with Stitcher, same deal with Podbean, podcast app. Just share the show. Download it, tell people about it, word of mouth. That's all we're asking.
No, it's not all we're asking. Also, come to all the shows that we have, the murder mysteries, the stand-up. Donate money on our website.
Yes.
If you have to see me on the street, be cordial. Offer to buy me a drink.
So all we're asking is to go on every single platform that the show's available on. Give us 5 stars. Write us a review. Tell every friend you know to listen to the show. Give us lots of money at robmerritt@gmail.com on PayPal. Come to every single murder mystery show. Come to every single comedy show. See the pie plate closer. Give a standing ovation. And then tell your friends to do exactly the same thing.
That's all we need.
That's it.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So I'm guessing that, just throwing some names out there, that they have Joe Robinson on their Mount Rushmore of people that have negatively affected their life. Let's start with Tom Arnold.
Oh, I you think I'm on there? I mean, he's had people
It's Roseanne, his former agent, some kid from high school, and Joe Robinson.
Possible.
Yeah.
Am I on Chris Restivo's?
Yes, you got Chris Restivo. It's got the kicker for the Vikings that missed the kick last year. It's got probably someone in his family. Tommy Sambazo, and then you, Joe Robinson.
What about, am I on Tom Myers?
Yes, you got Tom Myers, worst comedian of all time.
Dan Ninen, am I on his?
You definitely Ninen has J.L. Covan. I don't know if he's still trying to act like, probably has George Bush, someone he's never met. I don't know if he's acting like Robert Schimmel, he still liked him or they were still good, or Russell Peters, he may be still acting like they're tight.
Like Mark Maron.
Yes, Mark Maron. It's Mark Maron, J.L. Covan, Joe Robinson, and George Bush.
I just noticed somebody in chat is roofing contractor, which is a reference to me having to both take off and put on a roof.
Yes, and after you botch Katie's dad's roof, you'll be on Katie's dad's Mount Rushmore as well. Congratulations, Joe. My Kevin Hart TV show, Comedy Central, Heart of the City. I don't know exactly when my episode will air yet. They haven't announced that part, but the show will air October 2nd is the premiere. That's Sunday night, 11:30 p.m. It comes in right after the new South Park. So I'm hoping that we're the first episode, because that would mean that they liked it, obviously, if they wanted to premiere it. Not sure if they're going to start off with Philadelphia, because that's where he's from. So that seemed like the logical choice.
What day of the week does it air?
It's a Sunday night. It starts, it's 8 episodes. I assume it'll run every Sunday starting October 2nd. And I'm imagining this week coming up, I'll know exactly the date for the DC, my episode. And of course, I'll be letting everybody know.
Yeah, I'd like to have I'm going to have a party that night. So I'll have a party. I'll have everybody over to watch, and we'll get everybody together from the cast and people from the local comedy scene. And if you want to invite your dad, Rob, you can do that. Yeah, and we'll have everybody over and watch it.
What if you guys got a watch party? Everybody got together and they cut Rob out of the show entirely.
Well, it's like there's only 3 comics. You can't cut him out of the show.
See, okay, a couple things here. I have no fear of that happening, but would I look like an idiot? What if I'm picking my nose at some point and I don't even realize it? You know, I do have these concerns. It'll be nerve wracking.
They're going to edit it in a way for you to look it. By the way, you already did well. I know that part, but it's not that. They want the listen, the story, the narrative of what they're trying to do only works if you are wildly successful. The idea is, here are people that you don't know. Here's how funny they are. If you're average, then it doesn't. Oh, I see. We know everybody that's funny. So I promise you, you're not going to look bad in this. As good as you looked when you actually did it, you're going to end up looking better than that.
Now, logically, I agree with all that, but there's just that part of me, maybe it's a self-esteem thing, that I'll be nervous. I would like to be able to watch it beforehand so that I can know, and then I can watch it relaxing.
I don't think you're going to get an opportunity to do that.
I probably won't.
I'm sure Tom Cruise is allowed to watch Mission Impossible, but the guy who walks through with a tray and says, "Can I take your order?" He doesn't get to.
That's me. That's what you're saying.
That's you. You're the guy with the tray.
I'm the one who trays.
Were you nervous like this about your Great Day Washington appearance?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. I knew I was going to kill that. I think I'm wearing the same shirt though. So.
Are you really in that you wore in Great Day Washington?
Yep. Black shirt. Oh,
that's great, because I could do side by side.
Yeah. Well, it's a black. It's a thinning color. So, although that shirt fits, it was tighter on me back when I did the Kevin Hart show. Your girlfriend doesn't realize that, but whatever.
I can't wait to show it to her.
Yeah. But it's sort of a weird time to have a watch party, though. It's 11:30 on a Sunday night.
Yeah, but it's important. I mean, we'll do it. I mean, people that care about you are going to show up.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with that, though.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what we're doing. You're not going to watch it by yourself in your basement. The people that care about you are going to get together. We're going to watch it.
Do I have to be there?
Of course you have to be there. Yes. Why? What are you going to do instead?
Watch it at home in my basement by myself.
No, come on. No, you're not going to watch it at home. You're going to come to whatever we do, and you're going to watch it, and we're going to celebrate the fact that you got to do this.
Yeah, I like that. But I'd also, I'm someone that doesn't even tell anyone when my birthday is. I don't like it. So I get uncomfortable with that, being the center of attention and that.
That's great, but hold on. You're not uncomfortable being the center of attention. We're in a field where we are the center of attention.
I know it's a strange dichotomy. I get that.
So this is it's a watershed moment in your career.
It is yes.
And your best friends are going to get together and we're going to watch this thing. And you're going to be a part of it unless you have something else you're going to do. But if you're just going to sit at home, yeah, you're going to have to come. I'm sorry. You're going to have to come and watch it.
What if it's so amazing that I get emotional and I start crying like your friend?
Then I will come right on the air and I'll tell that story.
Well, who would you invite to this?
I would invite everyone that's in the Die Laughing production. All those people. Yeah. I would invite, and some of them couldn't make it clearly. I'd invite all the people that we know from stand up. I'd invite my friends.
You could
friends.
Have 100 people in your apartment, Joe?
Well, if I thought we were going to have that many, if I thought we were going to have 20, I'd do it in the apartment. But if I thought we were going to have more than that, there's a room up at the, by the pool, and you can just rent that room. It costs $40, and we'll just rent that.
Isn't my house better suited for this?
But I'm doing it.
But my house is, I have a house.
Yeah, but I can't tell you to have a party. So that's the way it works.
Well, if I have to go to this thing...
Then you're going to have the party? Done. No more party.
I mean, it's up to Tawanda. I mean, it's a Sunday night. I mean, she obviously would have to take off work the next day.
Yes, it's true. Your house may be better suited for this. But, again, I can't, I don't say, hey, I'm going to have a party. I'm going to have it at your house. You're going to need to buy some drinks. You're going to need to buy some food.
Yeah.
You're going to need to clean up.
I know how it works. Yeah. Well, would you invite... I wonder if Scott Bergson will show up. I know Mac won't, but he likes me more. But maybe I'll watch Blazing Saddles instead.
Instead of your show? Well, you're clearly going to watch your show.
Of course I'm going to watch it, yes. But I will be nervous watching it with everyone else, having not watched it yet. That will make me uncomfortable.
Well, that's strange because you're not... it's not... You're not... You know what happened.
Okay, I know what happened, but I don't know how they're going to edit it. Obviously, they could edit in a way that I don't like. Now, no one will. You could still like it because you don't know what really happened. But there's a way for me to look good and still me to be upset. Does that make sense?
Is that a real concern that people who professionally who do this professionally at a much higher level than we do? When RJ Jackson edits my Ellicott City video, you know, and it was a good set. It wasn't a good set. It was a great set. So it's a great set, and they're editing it to make you look as good as you possibly can. You're going last too. It's a crescendo. That's how it's supposed to work.
Well, you're, I don't. I go
you're not
last.
Concerned that you're not gonna do well.
I go last on the in reality I went last, but they don't have to, they can edit it with me going whenever. It doesn't.
All right, how about this? I'll bet you go last on the show. Well, not, what odds do you want? I'll give you 5-1.
Well, they also might splice it throughout. It might not be that way because I know they're going to splice in the conversation with our stand-up. So it might be a constant part of me here, part of this guy there, part of that guy here, part of me here. So it might not be a, this is this guy's 5 minutes. This is the other guy's. This is my 5 minutes. And so that may, they may do it that way.
Really? Because I mean, it would be tough. And especially if there's comics and, you know, Kevin Hart isn't just a comic. He's the hottest comic in the world right now. So right. He's going to know that stand-up doesn't really work if you're only hearing 30-second clips of different people's acts over a period of 22 minutes. It's not going to work. You have to hear because there's transitions and segues and the jokes weave into each other. They're related to one another. I mean, obviously, there's a continuity you can't have if you break them up. Also, I'm pretty confident that you had the best set based on everything that I've heard, including your own testimony. So they're not going to put the best guy in the middle. It doesn't make any sense. So, and there are people who do this professionally who need it to need you to look as good as you possibly can. It doesn't work. The show doesn't work if the comics fail. So obviously, no. Not only did you not fail, they're going to put you in the most positive light that they can. So it's going to be exciting to watch it. It's not going to be, I can't tell you how to feel, but it's not, I mean, maybe you're nervous because of how important you think that it might be. But you're not nervous because you think you're going to look bad. That doesn't ring true to me, that you think you're going to look bad. We know when we do well. That's one of the things, it's one of the 8 things we know. Everything else we don't.
Okay, I know, look, I know I had a great set. There's no way to show a joke that doesn't do well because they all did well. I realize that. But I could still, in the conversation, maybe I just look fat or something. Maybe I look stupid. So there's more to it than just, do I come off as funny?
Do you think Robbie's girlfriend is going to talk about how fat you are when she's watching it?
Yes, that's in my head. Yes.
So you
know
would
what?
You like?
You know what? Hey. My Mount Rushmore, Robbie's girlfriend, right up there.
Well, let me ask you this right now. Do you not want Robbie's girlfriend there?
I do not want her there.
Yeah, you can't want her there because that's your biggest your biggest fear is something that she finds your weakness and she attacks it.
Yeah, she cannot be there.
Robbie, make sure she knows she's not invited.
Okay.
Hey, unless she can only come on one condition, if the Bears and the Colts are in first place at the time of the viewing, then she could come. Let's get out of here. But again, I'm hoping it's October 2nd, but I'm guessing it's probably October 9th. But I should know something soon. Next week, no show. We're going to do Best of Year 4. It's Monday Night Football, Redskins, Steelers. Kicking off the season. But listen, this Sunday, 98 Rock, to the Joe Robinson post-game show, starring myself and Tommy Sambaza with a yet-to-be-determined
doing something, yes.
Segment. Yes, it's the Mount Rushmore of football plays that have negatively affected your life the most.
Can I also say something to one of our listeners of the year, Amy Michelle Berger, who sent me a Facebook message saying, I'm sorry. And of course, I wrote back, I accept your apology. But I have no idea what she's sorry about. I don't
not
even
see what Amy's sorry.
Oh, I have no idea what Z is sorry about.
Yes.
But but there's nothing. There's no need. Whatever you think that we're upset about, Amy, we clearly are not. So don't sweat that. You don't need to apologize for things we don't know anything about.
Don't need to apologize. But if you want to, we accept your apology. Not sure what it's for. But once again, shout out to Eric Woodworth, put together an amazing show at Magoobies for Coco Lane. We had a lot of people show up. Shout out to our listeners, Jeff Hancock, Merle Rogers, Scott Bergson. And we'll see everybody back in 2 weeks later.
Go Chiefs.
But wait, there's more. Here's Joe Robinson.
So friend of ours, friend of the show, and also star of our murder mystery, Justin Schlegel, he goes to, and does a set at High Tops in Timonium yesterday. On the show, a lot of the comics that we mention on here, Tommy Zimbazzo, Mickey Coachella, I think Eric Woodworth also did a set there. But anyway, when Justin gets on stage, just at the end of his set, he goes, hey, he goes, I have one more bit I want to do. I just need to do a costume change. And he walks out of, you know, there's doors behind where people perform. You got to walk up these stairs and goes walk out. He goes, I got to do a quick costume change. Walks out, leaves, gets in his car and drives home. The whole audience just sitting there waiting, waiting for him to come back.
We also had him clapping. He had him doing a slow clap. And then he said, let me go get my car and get this costume change, and just left. Never came back.
I wonder how long they clapped. I wasn't there, but
they're still clapping right now. Later, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.